Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Benjamin Hall, who's a PhD and lives in the world of statistics. I'm going to ask Dr. Hall to introduce himself. Then I'm going to ask him to help us shed greater light on COVID-19 and what the data and science is telling him as he evaluates and looks at it. Dr. Hall, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Scott, for the opportunity to spend a few minutes talking about statistics on this important topic. I'm Benjamin Hall, and I'm a biostatistician in Louisville, Kentucky. I have a PhD in statistics from the University of Kentucky and have spent the past 10 to 15 years focused largely on studying situations where randomized experiments aren't possible, but learning from the data is critically important.
So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about that background and how much work in sort of like looking at healthcare issues and so forth and disease issues. Tell us a bit more about your stats background.
Yeah, so I've studied a lot of programs where an initiative is taken to try and intervene and help a population become healthier, live longer, fight off disease. And a lot, usually not in a randomized fashion where we can't formally do a clinical trial, but where some people respond and engage in the program and some people don't, and then try to find ways to rigorously determine whether the intervention had an effect or not. And a lot of times an outcome there is mortality, and that's obviously a key outcome here in the COVID-19 crisis as well.
And talk to us about, I mean, the big intervention here, at least in a lot of states, was this lockdown to try and, clamp down on the spread of COVID-19. And then some states and countries did less of this lockdown, did more social distancing. Tell us what you're finding as you look at stats. What do the stats tell you about these interventions and generally about COVID-19?
Yeah, so I've tried to focus on Western Europe and then the various states in across the United States just to try to control for similarities in data reporting and climate, being entirely in the Northern Hemisphere, and also that there's quite a variety. When you look at the states in America, you've got states like Ohio that responded very, very quickly and was the first to close restaurants, closed businesses, issued stay-at-home orders pretty quickly after their first cases were identified. And then there's states like Arizona and Florida that were much slower. So I've tried to study, the various approaches that states have taken. And, the data indicates that there's not really much evidence that the most restrictive states got any benefit in terms of slowing the disease progression or reducing the number of deaths. When you look at states that were hit harder, a lot of them responded really quickly.
And is it because of what drives that differences in outcomes? Is it, you mentioned climate differences? I mean, is it partly because Arizona, Texas, Florida, different climates that they weren't hit as hard, or is it because of makeup, how they live close together or not?
Yeah, in my analysis, density, population density, is definitely the number one factor that has been associated with the hardest hit areas, and climate seems to be a secondary factor that warmer climates have benefited, and I think we've seen that as summer has gone along. I think that's helped to mitigate the COVID-19 spread. Those are the two factors that have popped out as being the heavy influencers.
So if population density is one of the biggest factors, you have different things. Obviously, bigger cities have mass transit, but all cities and states have schools. And schools naturally lead to lots of people together all the time. How much concerns do you have that kind of population closeness
will have an impact on disease triggers this fall and virus surges and so forth, as, you know, the world can't stay out of school forever as people actually go back to schools and so forth. What does the data tell you about that, or any sense of it?
That's a really good question. Definitely the population centers are the most at risk and need to be most aware. Schools actually, the data indicates there shouldn't be a lot of concern with schools. Number one, kids have not generally been at risk. The infection rate among kids is so much lower than the general population, and they just clear the disease quickly.
Is the infection rate lower, or is it that the impact on them is lower? Because those are two different things.
Right. I think it's both. So when you look at the data, the infection rate is much lower when you look at confirmed cases among kids. So when cities have gone and tried to do antibody tests on large portions of the population, they find that the elderly are definitely have higher rates of confirmed cases. The children seem to get the disease, but generally clear it quickly. So I think it's both cases, that the children are infected less, and then that they also, when they are affected, they respond much more favorably.
Got it. So interesting. So this data and thinking that the government interventions, you know, I mean, there is a school of thought that says the government interventions really helped flatten the curve and thus saved our hospitals and avoided a complete public health crisis, and that deaths would have been much worse than they were. There's a different school of thought that says, you know, intervention is sort of, man trying to play God and doing so very unsuccessfully, and while trying to do so, causing enormous economic damage. There's two very different schools of thought. And as you come out of this, how do you think this type of assessment and analysis should impact choice about policy? How does this impact your thoughts on policy?
Yeah, I think, again, going back to the differential impact that the disease has had on different segments of the population, the way children have not been impacted and have not been major spreaders of the disease would indicate that our policy around schools should be very open. On the other hand, when you look at nursing homes that have been impacted enormously and where spread has been disastrous, that our policy should be restrictive. So I think that the indiscriminate approach is what we need to back away from, and the more targeted approach is more appropriate.
And do you have any thoughts? I mean, this has become, as so many things, so incredibly political. Any thoughts on whether all this data, all this science will change policies, or will the change of policy come from just the sheer distraction from this other horrendous racial incident that's happened? Will that lead to a distraction away from this quarantine stuff?
Oh, I think that's distracted us in the short term, but I don't think that the COVID-19 analysis and policy proposals are going to go away permanently. I think that we are learning from what we've seen across the world, and hopefully our better going to be able to target our policies. I think it'll be interesting initially, you know, when the news was coming out of Italy and things looked so dire, and we were hearing 2 or 5 or 10 million possible deaths in the U.S., that it was appropriate for us to react very quickly and very restrictively with emergency orders. I think it'll be interesting to see if those policy decisions continue to be made by executives, by governors and single leaders at the head of government, or if it'll be more the legislative branch that engages with a broader segment of the scientific community to develop longer term policies.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Hall, we greatly appreciate you joining us today. I think it's just so helpful for all of us to keep on getting better and better insight into what's going on. clearly, and what the data shows, clearly, it's a very different perspective if you're in a highly densely populated area where people have seen lots of people die versus an area, often a western state or a southern state, where you just haven't seen that. So there's very, very different perspectives on this, and they drive very different political perspectives on it as well and policy choices. Dr. Hall, it's a great pleasure to visit with you today, and we greatly appreciate you sharing your stats background with us. Thank you very much.
No problem.
And Dr. Hall, where can people learn more about you if they want to learn more about Ben Hall?
Well, I've written a short book on the topic. It's called Viral Spiral, A Statistician Analyzes COVID-19 in America, and that's available at Lulu Press. And then they can also look me up on LinkedIn, Benjamin Hall, and that's a great way to reach out as well.
Well, fantastic. And the name of the book again, one more time?
It's Viral Spiral, A Statistician Analyzes COVID-19 in America.
Thank you so much. Dr. Hall, we appreciate it. We appreciate our audience joining us again for another episode of the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Always great to hear different perspectives. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.